Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
How are you? It's holiday week.
I feel naked. I'm taking off my headphones.
We're taking off the headphones. It's we are like bare-assing it today.
Exactly.
Or bare-earing it. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody this week.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And this is our, we've been on air for 2 years.
It's insane.
It's unbelievable. It's wow. So exciting.
It really is. It's such an accomplishment.
It's such a highlight. And today we also have in studio with us, as my guests, not our show guests,
right,
but my daughter Tiffany and her boyfriend Michael. They came in from Grass Valley and they're here. They may have a question or two somewhere down the line.
So I've been asking them all the types of questions.
So cool. You are off to Maryland.
I'm going to Maryland.
So and your 20-year reunion.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy? So, yeah, I'm excited. Like, I'm one of those who actually liked high school, so I'm excited to go back and see everybody. But if you hear kids screaming from, you know, 10,000 feet above, you know that it'll be my kids, because I'm a little nervous about the plane ride.
Oh, it's too bad that it would be considered, like, child abuse if you had to just drug them.
I know. Well, what's scary is that how many people have said to me, bring Benadryl, or, like, suggested it, you know, like
in
a cocktail
for the kids.
In my generation,
it was brandy.
A brandy? That's so funny. Yeah. So, but
I think
other
that's
than
what
that,
my parents did to us. Like, they put brandy on our gums.
I think
or
somebody
like
told
that.
Me that. That's yeah. Insane. Wow. You guys were the smart ones. No.
Anyway, so if I cough or whatever or sound congested, I still am. This is a 2-week ordeal.
You sound like our guest, Fran Drescher, like without trying. You've got like the nasal down, everything.
Got the nasal going down. Anyway, so let's just quickly go through what our last week we had.
Yes.
Meryl Bombadaria. Bombadaria, yes.
Exactly.
The author of The Baby Decision. She taught us about different reasons for being child-free, why people make many of us so uncomfortable, why it's so important to make such a conscious decision.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was so, it's interesting. Like, before she came on, I'm like, what can she say that, you know, we haven't heard? You know, like, and I thought she really brought up a lot of amazing points and different insights. And I really liked some of her questions that she asked about sort of, you know, if one person says no and one person says yes, like, you know, talking about, well, how can I make this better for you or how can I make this change? I don't know. I really liked her thought process that went into it. So
and
that was
with
great.
All that you've been through, you don't have any regrets for
no.
having two of the devils?
I don't think I would have felt the devils. I don't think I would have felt satisfied. Like, I knew in my heart I wanted to. I felt like that's what I pictured. I think that if I had one, I would always feel like something was missing, like wasn't quite right. I don't know, like it was kind of like when I hear mothers who are like, I want, you know, they have two and they want another one, like I know that feeling of like you just don't feel like you're quite done. That's how I felt. So no regrets. And you know what, I think we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit, so we're getting through it.
And for me, one and done was great. She's the best.
Yeah. Oh, so sweet.
So sweet.
But here in LA, I've noticed too, a lot of people have one. Like in the suburbs.
It's very common.
Yeah. Like it was just different. When I was back east, it was like you had one and it was like, oh no. You know, like right. Here it's like, you know, like it's just very normal, I guess, in a city and people working and things like that, just different. So something that I noticed.
Okay. So let's hear from our sponsor,
yes.
Ian Oliver. Thank you so much. Here we're going to play his little blurb.
Hello, this is Ian Oliver, author of the best-selling book, Getting Back on Top, encouraging you to go visit my website, secondchanceatromance.com, where you can find a link not only to the book, but to lots of articles and interviews that will help you with your dating, relationships, and sex after divorce. And remember, all of the profits from our activities go to two very important children-related charities, so it's all going to a great cause, helping you and helping them. Go for it. Thank you.
And we try to support you too. Oh my gosh, today's very exciting, and our guest has arrived 2 hours in traffic later from Long Beach. Oh my gosh, we so appreciate, but let me give you the proper introduction. Today we have Dr. Marilyn Joyce, for more than 40 years a registered dietitian with her doctorate in psychology and biochemistry and human nutrition. She's been inspiring audiences around the world as a motivational and inspirational keynote speaker, seminar leader, and trainer. She's been featured guest on Doctor to Doctor, Lisa, Montel Williams, and Maury Povich, PBS, and Jenny Jones. Dr. Joyce is the author of the best-selling books, 5 Minutes to Health, I Can't Believe It's Tofu, and her much sought-after book, Instant Energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, with periods. We're going to find out more about that. The 5 Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality. The former director of nutrition for the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Dr. Joyce is a 5-time cancer survivor, now a 27-plus year thriver. Woohoo! She speaks to such organizations as Xerox, the FBI, wow, Girl Scouts, Boeing, I get nervous just thinking about that, Sloan Kettering, the American Cancer Society, the Wellness Community Centers, and Peak Potentials. Now, New Peaks. Welcome, Dr. Marilyn.
Hi there. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm sure just to get out of that damn car,
traffic,
right?
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry.
2 hours of traffic. No, it was, you know, it was a good test of my strategies while I was driving here.
Well, geez, just getting on the show was a good test because we had to reschedule you.
Yeah, right? That's true. Yes.
And then you shared something with me about numerology. You were saying that this actually turns out to be a great day, the 22nd.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
So what is,
about that?
Ah, my fun subject.
Yeah.
22 is a master number, and it's a number of power and energy and influence and inspiration. Wow. So it kind of rolls everything into one. You know, 11 is a powerful number,
okay,
but 22 is double that. Mm. And really, it opens the world up to possibilities, whereas the 11 is more individual or small group. The 22 is really opening up the world to the possibilities. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Was 33 even more powerful?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yes, 33. 33 is what we call the Christ consciousness number, you know, whatever your philosophical beliefs are.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like that energy of, I don't want to say martyr, but the negative side could be martyr, but the positive is making a huge difference to humanity.
Oh, so
which, you know, if you look at...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm 55 now. Is that even more powerful?
Well, that's
where are we going?
That's a little different, though. It's what makes up the 55 that counts. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. How did you get into numerology?
Do you know, it's so amazing because here I am, you know, I'm a scientist at heart, and my background, biochemistry and human nutrition. But before that, I'm from Scotland. I'm from a wee place called Auchtermochty in Scotland. I'm a Scots lass, you can.
Oh my God. I
love the accent.
So cool.
Don't lose it. Keep it up.
So what happened was that my grandparents had squatters at the back of their property, and that was quite common in Scotland. You know, there were a lot of people who had squatters, and they were gypsies.
Oh.
And so I had the experience when I was just a wee bairn, as they say in Scotland, just a wee child, of experiencing tarot cards, which were not like anything in a box you see now. You know, none of the commercial things. They were all hand-painted cards, and they were about 8.5 by 11 kind of size or bigger.
That's so cool.
And they would just throw them on the floor, and you would pick 3 cards. And the gypsies predicted that we were going to leave Scotland. And I couldn't imagine that when I was just a wee bairn, because I wanted to stay where my grandparents were. But that, you know, they predicted it. So there were so many things they predicted that were so right on.
Wow.
And that's when I actually started learning numerology, because that was what they practiced.
That's so cool.
I love it. Well, you have an audience in here in this studio.
I know. Look at us. We're all like drooling. Like, tell us about us. Yeah,
I know. I love it. Cool. You know, I don't know why I didn't do that as my worldly, you know, profession. But I think I did for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like that. I wasn't enough, you know, kind of thing. So I went back to school, got all my degrees, and then I started doing more numerology again.
That's so funny. You came back to it.
Yeah,
so
you know,
cool.
Full circle. It's fun. You know,
sure.
it's just a lot of fun. And it's fun to see how it can, you know, when people understand the gifts they have, you know, they can make a big difference in their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But clearly your life has not always been fun, having been a 5-time cancer survivor.
No.
So when was your first diagnosis?
My first diagnosis, Dr. Deborah, was in when I was 1985, when I was 35 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was diagnosed first with melanoma. It was just a spot on my face that, you know, I was suddenly at the peak of my career as a dietitian, and I was asked to speak to my organization, the Canadian organization. So it was a huge honor. But I looked in the mirror, and, you know, I was a mom with two kids, teenage kids at that. I didn't really spend a lot of time looking in the mirror. Yeah. It was like slap a little bit of mascara on and head out the door, right? Mm-hmm. After I got the kids ready for school. But that particular day, I think I was a little more observant. Oh. And it was actually, you know, vanity that took me to the doctor. I just said, what is this thing on my face? Get it off.
Wow.
And I didn't really know much about cancer other than, I mean, like skin cancer. Mm-hmm. I knew a lot about uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer. Those were things that we saw in the aging populations that I would often end up working with in the hospitals. But skin cancer wasn't as common then as it is today.
Oh.
So when, but I had done a lot of sun stuff in the my younger years. I traveled, I'm from the hippie generation, so I hitchhiked around the world and spent a lot of time out in the sun.
Yeah.
And I think that had something to do with it. And I was also very fair-skinned, fair-haired, you know, and blue eyes, which makes you more susceptible as well. But I didn't know any of this at the time. When they said it was melanoma, I'm like, just get the thing off.
Yeah.
And the doctor
said, you didn't understand the repercussions of that.
No,
what does that really
mean?
No,
it goes deep fast. It's one of the fastest-growing cancers you can get.
Wow.
And so, fortunately, we got it early stage, although I did have one other bout with it, but that was immediately removed as well. That wasn't what almost took me out. It was actually uterine cancer, which they had misdiagnosed for over 2 years as PMS and, you know, anything else but cancer because of my age. And then after I was diagnosed with melanoma, they decided when I was, you know, doubled over with pain, which was a common occurrence, that maybe they should take a deeper look at it. And it was uterine cancer stage four.
Oh my gosh.
At that point in time. Yeah, most people don't survive stage four cancer.
Right.
No. And, yeah. But I didn't know a lot of that when I was, you know, that age. It was like,
almost ignorance was bliss, right?
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
And what do you credit the recovery to?
Do you know, I think it's, I think some people do have a survivor instinct.
Yes.
I mean, my background goes back to being the child of a schizophrenic mother with, you know, who was paranoid schizophrenic. And so I was on the streets at 14. I ran away from home. So I had developed a streetwise perspective.
Resiliency.
And a resiliency.
Times 10.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a survival instinct. Sure. I also think that my age had a lot to do with it. When you know, when you're younger, you're not as ready to go.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my older patients, they're ready to leave. Mm-hmm. You know what? The pain just gets to be too much.
Yep.
But I think when you're younger, you tend to be more of a fighter.
And you had children.
And I had children. The big thing that I always ask is, do you actually want to live, or do you want to die? You know, I'll ask patients that at some point if I'm not getting a response that's positive.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, people do make up their mind about it. And most people, if you don't have a strong enough why, we hear this in the business world, but in our real life, everyday existence, I think it's very important too. You know, what is your why for being here?
Mm-hmm.
And my kids were definitely a why for me to be here. So.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, what a story.
It's amazing.
Did you do any kinds of alternative?
I did. Now, you know, first of all, that's a great question, Dr. Deborah, because first of all, what happened was I did the traditional. I went, the chemotherapy was what they offered then. I think now it's, well, I know now, they offer kind of both chemotherapy and radiation, and I'm not so sure that's a great idea because I don't see a lot of people survive. I mean, with chemotherapy, there's a 2% survival rate. You know, that's
it?
Know, we never hear about that. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's very, very low.
Oh,
and
my God.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, when you look at that, because think about what it does. It rips your body down.
Sure. I always wondered that.
It just tears your body down. And, I mean, the radiation burns your body from the inside out.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're destroying your body.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that most cancer patients die from malnutrition, not from the cancer itself.
Oh, wow.
So after 3 rounds of chemotherapy and talking to the great white telephone more than anything else that you could do, and that was in the bathroom. So, you know,
yes, we understand that. That's barfing.
Yeah, barfing.
She's got a barfing aversion.
Oh my God, that's probably why it went over my head.
Went right over
I tuned
head,
it out.
Right? I just needed to remind you. That's exactly. Barfing.
Yeah, yes. Barfing. Yeah,
Poor thing.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah.
She's like, the white
pregnancy
telephone.
Or cancer?
Well, I was like trying to figure it out. I was like in contact. I was like, wait, let me figure that out. But
I'm sorry, have you guys ever heard of light of your story at all. Yeah. It's just sometimes we have to lighten it up a little bit.
At this point in my life, I do like to lighten it up a bit. Because I think that, you know, people can get wrapped up in that. The whole point is you can survive it. And that, I think that's been my message for a long time.
And thrive, as you call yourself,
a thriver. Yeah, not just survive, but really thrive and have a full life. But I don't believe that I would be here today if I had done the 6 rounds of chemo.
Okay.
Wow. So I honestly believe that when I quit the 3 rounds, and I mean, I didn't know if I was going to make it. We just decided that if I was going to be here, I needed quality of life, not quantity.
Oh,
and I still really believe that very strongly. I mean, if for some reason or other I was taken out tomorrow, I could definitely say I have had an amazing several decades of quality life after cancer.
Before cancer,
I didn't know how to have fun or do anything. It was really a teacher. I mean, it was one of the people that worked with me, and I feel so blessed that this happened, was Dr. Bernie Siegel.
He is
the real advocate for cancer patients and really getting to the core of what's going on inside of you.
Wow.
You know, kind of a deeper extension of Louise Hay's work.
Yeah.
You know, mind-body therapy.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's so
cool. What he did was he asked me a simple question. Do you see cancer as your friend?
Mm.
And I said, absolutely not.
Right.
And he said, do you see it as your enemy? And I said, absolutely. And he said, well, I would ask you to really think about that, because whether it's your friend or your enemy, you keep that cancer around, because if it's your friend, it's because you love it, and if it's your enemy, it's because you hate it or whatever.
Really interesting.
Instead, he said, I challenge you to see it as your teacher. Now, when you're in a wheelchair, 88 pounds, given less than 2 weeks to live, and you're asked to see cancer as a teacher, you know, it was like at first very challenging to do that.
Sure.
But looking back and reflecting back over all of that, it taught me a lot. It taught me that I didn't know how to have fun. I was so busy being a mom and working and getting to the top of the corporate ladder or whatever, the hospital ladder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was so busy trying to prove that I was good enough, I guess, on some level.
Yeah.
And I was also a people pleaser, which is often characistic of cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was all those things going on.
Uh-huh.
And what Dr. Siegel said was, when you think about it, you know, if you think about a teacher, you keep the teacher around for as long as you need that teacher to be there until you learn the lesson.
Mm.
Then you graduate and you move on to another teacher. So, you know, like kindergarten to junior school to senior to college, right?
Wonderful metaphor,
So that's the way I work with my patients as well. I help them to see what's going on for them as far as what is the lesson.
Yes.
Because once you get the lesson, a lot of times that is what can snap you into becoming well. You know, as well as focusing on health and not illness. Like people often say, what was your focus? Well, when you're sick, what do you focus on? You focus on the sickness. And as long as you're focused on that, what I learned also from working with Dr. Siegel, and also then working at the Cancer Treatment Centers with Dr. Carl Simonton, is that what you focus on expands.
Right.
And if you focus on being sick and overcoming the illness and being in fear, you know, false expectations appearing real. I love that, you know, acronym. But, you know, when you're focused on that, you expand more of that. But when you focus on wellness and health, okay, what's the thing I can do that's going to build my body up instead of the thing that's going to tear it down?
Sure.
You know, and so it would be all the components that I talk about in Instant Energy, you know, the 5 keys. It really boils down to, you know, you've got to learn to breathe. Cancer cells don't thrive well where there's oxygen.
Mm.
So, you know, exhale fully first so you can fully inhale. So that's the, you know, for the energy, the word energy.
What is the acronym?
So
E-N-E-R-G-Y.
Right.
What does it start for?
Exhale fully first so you can fully inhale. And then the next one is N for nutrition excellence daily. And I in my live audience seminars, I often will say, not weekly, not Monday morning, and not New Year's Day.
Right.
Daily, you know.
Yeah.
And yes, you can cheat, you know,
right.
But there's ways to cheat, you know, so we talk about that. And that also incorporates water. You need a lot of water. That's part of the nutrition aspect. And then we come to the other E, the second E, which is exercise for cellular rejuvenation.
Okay.
And that's where oftentimes people struggle because they think, well, I go to the gym and I work out. That's not cellular rejuvenation, generally speaking, because most people aren't teaching you how to breathe properly while you're doing it. Mm. So what kinds of things would do that? Well, yoga,
yeah.
Tai Chi, things where you're really focusing your breath uh-huh. as you're doing the movement.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's kind of meditation and motion.
Sure.
And then also rebounding, you know, something like a trampoline yeah. uh-huh. or a rhythmic movement detoxes the lymphatic system.
Uh-huh.
So jumping on a rubber floor, not a hard floor,
yeah.
but jumping on a rubber floor where there's a bounce, or swimming is a
yeah.
rhythmic movement,
mm-hmm.
and balancing on a trampoline or a mini trampoline. That detoxes your lymphatic system. And what is the part of our body that doesn't detox easily?
Lymphatic
yeah. system. You know, it's like we have the heart, which is the machine that makes the
circulatory system.
Circulatory system work. Oh my gosh, must have been that traffic jam I was in.
It wasn't circulating then.
Yeah, right,
exactly.
Circulating. I never had time to circulate it. So the circulation system, and then you've got your respiratory system, and the lungs are the machinery for that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your lymphatic system, you're it.
Mm.
You're the machine. You have to get your body moving in a rhythmic movement in order to make that.
And massage
work.
Does that too,
massage,
right?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yeah. If you can find a really good massage therapist, mm-hmm. you're good to go.
I mean, not for the lazy people, but, you know, just in addition to the exercise.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the R?
The R is rest, relax, and rejuvenate. Mm. And interestingly, the one thing that my patients and clients and even my audiences, you know, when I'm speaking, will admit to is that that's the hardest one for them to do. Because in our Western culture,
yes.
and that includes Europe as well,
yeah.
People are nuts about working all the time, and
yes.
it's gotten even worse with cell phones
yes.
and computers
yes.
24/7, right?
Yes.
If you don't respond to someone in 5 minutes, there's something, what's wrong with you? I'm
yeah.
waiting for an answer.
You're
yeah.
rude.
Yeah,
yeah
you're
exactly.
Rude.
Yes.
So, you know, we're living in that time and era where we just can't take time out. So that's why everything I teach is 5-minute strategies, so that you've got no excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And then we come to the G. And that's gratitude attitude. And that was probably one of the biggest things I learned when I was working with Dr. Siegel. And also just in general going through the cancer journey. You know, again, what you focus on expands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will share a little story here because it really emphasizes how that works. And that was that when Dr. Siegel said, I want you to go home. This is when I've been given less than 2 weeks to live. I can't eat or drink mm-hmm. anything. I'm in a
wow.
wheelchair.
Wow.
I've been given the sentence, you know, go home and take care of your affairs.
Ooh.
And so I'm sitting looking out the window. Now, it was nothing like this beautiful view that I'm looking at right now with the mountains and so on. It was overcast, dismal.
Oh.
Just a dreary day in Toronto, Canada. Mm-hmm. A typical dreary day in mm-hmm. the middle of winter in Toronto, Canada. And it went on for months. And I remember looking out the window and saying, God, if you want me to write in this journal, you have got to give me a sign, because I cannot come up with one thing to be grateful for. I mean, I had lots, but I didn't know
yeah.
it. The blocks on my shoulder were just,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So basically, as I'm looking out the window, all of a sudden the sun peeked through the clouds,
wow.
and it was like just for a few seconds, and then it was gone. Now, would you not consider
absolutely.
That
a sign?
100%.
Definitely a sign to me.
Yeah.
And he said, just write the same thing 5 times. So I did. I wrote, Dear God, thank you for the sun. Thank you for the sun.
Wow.
Thank you for the sun. 5 times. But at the end of a month, now I'd already outlived the prognosis.
Yes.
And at the end of a month, I wrote 138 gratitudes, and they were all different.
Oh, my God.
And today I have 19 or 20 gratitude journals,
oh.
probably more by now, you know. But, you know, and it's
yeah.
just, it's something that I tell people, if you can just sit down for 1 minute
yeah.
when you're having a really bad time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I had had time, I would have probably done that in the car before I came up.
Yeah, exactly.
But right for 1 minute, you just yeah. say, you know, and whatever you perceive God to be in your philosophy or your religion, you know, is
mm-hmm.
You don't have to say that. That's just the way that I write it. But, you know, dear God, thank
yeah.
you for the beautiful sunshine. Thank you for the rain we had.
Yeah.
California, mm-hmm. that's a big deal, right? Thank you for the rain we had. But, you know, it's just writing 3 things that you're grateful for.
My husband and I do that practice every day. I mean, we've gotten a little sluggish. But, yeah, every night saying the five things we're grateful for. And it's such a beautiful thing because it's, like, so easy to come in and tell
Absolutely.
Each other about the bad parts of the day. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, like, how was your day? Oh, you have no idea. You know, and it's like, but it's different once you sort of, you know, have that gratitude
and
about
that
it.
Is and true, is your Kelly. Teacher.
Both my kids are my teachers. When you're talking about teachers, I was thinking about my kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Kids are definitely our teachers.
The best teachers, really. I was thinking the same thing.
Tiffany's been my teacher, still my teacher. She'll always be one of my teachers.
I think they...
Yeah.
Do you believe that the kids choose us?
A lot I do, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So interesting, right? Like, you choose your own parents. It's kind of cool. So
I agree, Kelly.
No.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And tell us about
been having a hard day that day.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Just kidding. Just
That's
kidding.
Really funny.
We want to hear the why, and then we will hear from our sponsor.
Yes.
Right. The why is your five keys, because in Instant Energy, where I really wrote everything that I could think of, you know, 441 pages of strategies and tips, right? It's your five keys. So when I work with you, I meet you where you're at, because I know that not everyone's going to want to do what I would personally do every day.
Sure.
But we have the philosophy, 5 minutes, five times a day, instant energy guaranteed, whether you're a cancer patient, caregiver, or just someone who wants to be healthy.
Uh-huh.
So what five strategies will you fit into those five keys? And it can change. You know, a month later, you might say, you know, I want to try that one for the for the breathing strategy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really good.
This is so awesome. Thank you. Okay, hold on one. Hold that thought.
Hello, this is Ian Oliver, author of best-selling book, Getting Back on Top, encouraging you to consider using my relationship consulting services where I help people transition from being married to divorced to single, one of the most difficult transitions in life. You can check out some of this information on my website, secondchanceatromance.com. And remember, all of the profits from our activities go to two very important children-related charities, so it's all going to a great cause, helping you and helping them. And I look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Wow. I'm so glad, Ian. Thank you so much. And we are here with Dr. Marilyn Joyce, who is a five-time cancer survivor, telling us all about all of her trade secrets.
Yes,
I don't know
exactly.
What we call them. They're just brilliant. Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm so excited that my daughter and her boyfriend are here with us today to get to hear this live, because they are Ayurvedic practitioners.
Oh,
so all about the nutrition and the body and all of that. So on behalf of them, I will ask the question, do you have also background in Ayurvedics? Do you practice in your nutrition? Anything to do
Not
with?
Not a lot. I mean, I have a lot of associates who are involved in Ayurvedic medicine, so I'll refer out to them for that. Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people who grew through the whole process of, you know, forming a team
for
a patient, you know, and having the right experts working with people. So I admire what you're doing. It's amazing work.
Yeah, they're very special. That's very exciting. I'm learning so much about that. It's really awesome.
So cool. Yeah.
And I did have my drops of that tincture today that you brought me. And I put it in my tea, and it tastes damn good.
Oh, it was good? That's
oh,
good.
Oh, my God, delicious.
Oh,
I
really?
I want to, like, drink the whole bottle. What does it have, like, boosenberries or elderberries?
Oh, that's good.
Cause
oh,
delicious.
Yes.
Oh, I give, like, herbs to my kids, and they're dying. Like they're like, oh, you know, like, yeah.
Mommy,
so that's
why?
Good. Yes, exactly. It's like torture. But that's good that you like it.
Oh,
that's great.
Oh, I love it. So, Dr. Marilyn, I know that, you know, all we hear about these days, and I'm an avid believer in it, is fruits and vegetables, vegetables and fruit.
Right.
So is that really as powerful as we think it is?
It is.
In our healing?
Now, there's a caveat there, of course. If you're going to buy fruits and vegetables, make sure you understand the, what did they call it? The
Dirty Dozen?
Dirty Dozen,
yeah.
So that you're not buying them as commercially grown. You want to make sure that at least you're buying them, and I think it's actually up to 15, the Dirty Dozen plus 3 or something now, you know. It's,
yeah.
They should just change it to the Dirty 15. But anyway, the whole thing is, though, that if you are going to eat those particular ones, you want to make sure that those are organic, because there's no question about it. In the research that we did at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, where we actually, I've done a lot, you know, with biochemistry as my background, I've done a lot of work in the labs as well, and we've actually seen a huge difference between what we call commercially grown vegetables and fruits and organically grown. And when people say there's no difference, that's not true because it depends on the soil that it's grown in. And I grew up with, you know, my grandparents grew all their own produce in Scotland. You know, so it was like all fresh out of the garden when we ate it, and fresh out of, they had hot houses for the winter. It doesn't get as cold and snowy there as it did in Canada. And of course, down here, you don't have any of those problems with it, you know. But the point is that, you know, when you grow up on food like that and you taste the difference, a lot of the food today, if you know, when you grab an apple at the store and you pay a dollar for the apple and you bite into it and it's mush.
Yes.
And it's like
worst.
Tasteless.
Yes.
And you think, oh, you know, what is this, right?
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of the food is irradiated that's in the stores, regardless of what they say to you. So it's
really,
even
if they say
it's... To make
it
look nice, to keep it looking nice for longer.
So you're talking about things like berries and those kinds
of
things.
Yeah, berries in particular have to be organic.
I
mean, there's so much surface area of the berries as well that are, you know, when they spray, it's just all over the berries. So you can't really wash it out effectively because, you know, they'll turn to mush if you put them in water for too long, too.
What are a few of the other ones on the list?
Peaches have been on and off the list, but peaches are often on the list, and peppers are often on the list.
Grapes too.
Grapes are on the list.
Yeah.
I believe cherries are as well. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the berry type things and the smaller fruits and vegetables and lettuces, and many of the lettuces, you have to be very careful about them. That's why it's always wise to buy, you know, leafy greens and reds organically grown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to be sure that you're getting...
And sometimes, you know, just making those small little changes in your daily consumption can just make a difference. I mean, I always feel better every time I take a little step toward that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Tiffany taught me that it's better to add something new into your routine than to always work on taking something away because it feels like you're adding something.
Smart.
That's the smart way. Every time you take something away, put something in. You know, it's like what we say with your closet. Every time you buy something new, take something out, right?
True.
I should have done that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I save myself a lot of time now. But but the fact is, with food, I really don't believe in cutting things out until you're ready to. You know, it's like if somebody loves chocolate and I say you can't have chocolate.
Don't even go there.
Exactly. Which I was going to say, you're talking to the wrong person.
She will kick you
off
the show.
No, but although
Exactly. No, you don't have to worry. I just had a piece of chocolate on the way here.
But, and you probably have the kind that I like. Like I, she knows.
She's the dark chocolate.
I'm like 85% organic.
Like 97%
I would. Exactly. Yeah.
Because
I
need to taste shoe leather.
Love it. It's give me more.
You can go 87% and still get a lot of the benefits.
Exactly.
But it's like looking for the highest that you can tolerate.
Yes.
And changing gradually. I mean, I'll have clients who say, oh, no, I can't eat that dark chocolate. So I suggest, okay, just get the 60% for now.
Right.
You know, and break yourself in, right? Yeah. Instead of throwing everything out, just let's go slow. But it always boils down to quality, not quantity. And I think, you know, as we approach the holidays, you know, I've already been to three events over the last 3 days, one that I was working at and two others, you know, and the food was, the amount of food was immense that was there. And people were filling their plates up, you know,
like sky high.
Sky high, yeah. Well said. And I'm looking at this and thinking, no wonder they're having health problems and weight issues, you know? It's learning to take less, but make it better.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have a question.
And not deprive yourself. I mean, enjoy your turkey if you enjoy turkey, but get the best turkey.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, something without hormones and antibiotics. Yeah.
I know that soy has always been a little controversial, and I'm very curious, because I noticed one of your books was talking about that, so I would love your thoughts about that.
Yes.
So
I have been involved with soy-based companies for 30 years. You know, it was like amazing. It was like because of my biochemistry background, and I was very, very, very interested in avoiding all GMOs.
Yes.
And this is before anybody even talked about
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
This is before, when we were searching out tofu, because during my cancer journey back to wellness, I had been actually vegan for 14 years. Now, I can't say I am today, but I was then. And for 14 years before I was diagnosed with cancer. So it was not going to be easy for me to shift from that. And I still I'm still predominantly vegan, plus occasionally having fish.
Yeah.
But the soy was a very big part of that. And so we sought out tofu that was GMO-free. And we found a company called Mori New. And I don't know today how much their soy is GMO-free. Mm-hmm. But I actually worked with them keep them GMO-free when I came down here from Canada. That was one of my first jobs, so to speak. And basically, that's the thing we have to watch out for. Yes. It's like when I talk to people about soy, and I still really believe that tofu is a great way to have a creamy dressing that has no dairy in it at all. Yeah. You know, people will say, does that have dairy? And I'll go, no, it doesn't. Oh, does it have soy?
I'm like, right. Right.
Yes, but it's GMO-free soy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just a little. So, you know, I'm a real advocate still to this day for having some soy because I think it's a great alternative to meat. It's a complete protein, but you have to make sure it's GMO-free.
And if it's organic, does that automatically mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it used to. And actually, at the last two natural products expos, I've gone up to a lot of the experts in this arena, and they say it's not necessarily so. It used to be. But what they recommend is looking for organic GMO-free.
Right.
So you know that both things are on the label.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would do. And don't go overboard. What happened was Americans said, oh, if a little's good, a lot's got to be better.
Right.
So everybody started jumping on the bandwagon, and that's not the way it works either. It's best to have a little, you know, moderation is the key to everything in life. Mm-hmm. So
what is the number one health challenge today?
Oh, it's definitely energy deficit. And I'm not talking about fuel in the car. I'm talking about the human energy deficit. I mean, when I go into inner city schools, and I haven't done it for a while, but when I lived in Los Angeles permanently for a long time, I would go into the inner city schools and teach kids about breathing, because most kids don't know how to breathe. Mm-hmm. I teach them about healthy nutrition and about fruits and vegetables, because a lot of inner city kids never even knew what a fresh fruit or vegetable looked like.
Yeah.
So it would be like going in with baskets of, you know, different kinds of fruits and vegetables for them to try.
Uh-huh.
But we would go in and find those kids with their heads on the desk at 10 o'clock in the morning, rolling around, sleepy, tired. They'd started their day with a Pop-Tart and soda.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Or even worse, potato chips and soda, you know.
Yeah.
So really, truly, it's, you know, talking about the fruits and vegetables. Once kids learned about the fruits and vegetables and how instead of paying a dollar for a bag of chips, pay a dollar for an apple.
Right.
And get a good apple. Mm-hmm. You know, the best fast food is fruit.
Right.
You can't get faster food
than
that.
It's true. It's so true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's what I really feel strongly about is we've got to start teaching people how to create energy in their lives. And it's those five keys, you know. It starts with the breathing, and then we look at nutrition, exercise, not for your thumbs, for your body.
Exactly. Yeah, so true. So we're talking with Dr. Marilyn Joyce, and she is the author of Instant Energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y. I love, like, emphasizing the acronym. And we're going to take one more break for our sponsor.
Are you frustrated by the tremendous challenges that so many millions of people face in your dating life? If you are, we have your solution. Come talk to me, Ian Oliver, author of best-selling book Getting Back on Top, and my website, secondchanceatromance.com. We can help you. And remember, all of the profits from our activities go to two very important children-related charities, so it's all going to a great cause, helping you and helping them.
Okay, I'm getting energized just by sitting in your presence, Dr. Marilyn, I swear.
Me too. I'm thinking about my fruits and vegetables.
I love what you said, though, too, about focusing on the wellness as opposed to the sick. I've had this cold for 2 weeks, but I'm trying every day to just go, okay, well, it's there. It's sort of in the background, and I'm not trying to make it worse, but I'm definitely not trying to focus on it and just kind of like, God, my life is so cool anyway. So
yeah, that's the secret. It's not that we never get sick.
Sure.
You know, I mean, even I've had a cold or, you know, the flu or whatever, but it doesn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, it's there. And, you know, there are natural remedies, you know, like one of the simplest ones I know, and it's been around for thousands of years apparently, and I forget what it's called, but it's the hot lemon drink, you know. I call it the 1 minute detox in the morning, right? It's just hot water with half of the juice of a half of a large lemon or a whole small lemon, a tablespoon of pure maple syrup, and it has to be pure maple syrup, not that maple-flavored stuff.
Right.
And then a little cayenne pepper. That knocks out whatever ails people, if it's the cold or flu. It's really a great remedy. And it, what it does is it also detoxes your system and revs up your peristaltic system, so you eliminate more waste very more quickly.
Oh, that's so cool.
I mean, yeah.
How does it taste? I've never had that.
It's yummy. At least to me it is. Yeah,
really?
I love it.
My neighbor does that.
How much cayenne? Yeah. Like a teaspoon?
No, a
teaspoon. That's why I'm like, I don't know how good this
might
is going to
really
be.
Burn your throat.
Yeah.
We usually say about an eighth of a teaspoon.
Oh, okay.
Some people, like I can handle a quarter teaspoon of it, but more than that, and it would start to really, you know, tickle my throat or burn my throat. Yeah.
And honey, too, you can substitute or no?
Well, honey's okay. But if you're, like a lot of my clients are vegan, so we don't recommend honey if you're vegan. But honey doesn't have quite the same mineral composition as pure maple syrup.
Okay.
So that's the thing that we have to always remember is that there's different compositions. Honey's got its attributes.
Yeah.
Pure maple syrup's got its attributes. But the pure maple syrup is what they've been using for, apparently, at least 1,000
years. I'm going to try this next time.
Yeah.
Or you should try it now. I mean, does it work if you already have a cold?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting because I've done a lot of radio shows, most of them, you know, online or on the phone because the distance. They're crossing the East Coast or whatever. And they all have these colds and the flu. And so it's like, what would you recommend? Well, here's my simple solution.
That's cool.
And I'll get these messages back saying, you know what? It knocked it out in 2 days.
Wow.
You know, that type of thing. Yeah. So it's definitely worth a try, Dr. Deborah.
I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. You sold her.
Find time to buy the maple syrup.
I know.
Maybe I'll enlist Michael.
Exactly.
Do an errand for your mom, please.
Yeah, exactly. So cool.
I love it. Well, I have my non-GMO organic lemon tree in the backyard. So.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's
delicious. It's a Meyer's lemon. Oh, my God. They're so sweet and
are
so yummy.
If you ever have extra, I will.
Oh, I should have brought you some. I'm so sorry.
Anytime. I will.
Okay.
Oh, stop it. No, but I keep trying to grow fruit because I thought that was the coolest thing when I came to California because I'm from the East Coast and this is like unheard of. So I planted an avocado tree, a fig tree, and a peach tree. The squirrels keep getting them.
Yes.
Like every time. And my kids were all on the lookout. We're like, you know, like looking for the squirrel. But I don't know if they come and we're not there. And literally not one fruit grows because they keep grabbing it.
Oh,
they're too quick. So
they're
I put music out there.
Those
with cherries
so
too.
Cute.
Oh my God. Well, I put music out there. I was trying to like make a party so they wouldn't come. Still, nothing. Then I got a little owl that like turns because I don't want to do anything like inhumane, you know.
Okay.
So I'm like trying to think, but no, nothing's working. But anyway, so yeah, I'll take some of your lemons because we steal them from our neighbor because the tree comes over, and so I'm like, well, it's on our property.
Have you ever seen a squirrel go at a pine cone?
No,
they're vicious.
They are.
Thing. Like we would eat like a corn on the cob.
Yeah,
they put it in their little hands and paws.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to get bitten by a squirrel.
Oh, my God, really?
Throw them down, like, that's the end of the program.
That's so creepy.
It's cute to watch.
Yeah, my God.
I just don't want that to be my finger.
No,
that's
no.
So funny. Wow.
Okay, so give us one simple step that can be done in 5 minutes or less that our listeners can immediately take home.
Okay, because people have the hardest time relaxing, I'm going to give a relaxation technique.
Let's do it.
Very simple. Okay.
Can we practice?
Yes.
I'll be asleep by the end of this.
Unless you're driving.
So, exhale fully first. Blow all the air out. And then breathe in. Breathe out again. Exhale fully. And then breathe in. One more time. Blow it all out. And then breathe in. Now, it's a breathing technique where you breathe in to a count of four, hold to a count of four, and release to a count of four. And it's an energizing breath.
It's like box breathing.
Yes. That's
okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just, but it's rhythmic. If you got to do it slow and rhythmically. So it's breathing in, two, three, four, holding, two, three, four, releasing, two, three, four, breathing in, two, three, four, holding, two, three, four, releasing, two, three, four, and we'll do one more, breathing in, two, three, four, holding, two, 3, 4, releasing 2, 3, 4.
So that's a triangle breathing.
You don't do triangle. That's right, triangle, not box. That
have you done the box one also, which is where you at the end instead of the breathing in right away, you hold with no breath for 4 seconds.
You can, but that's a more advanced technique because when people are first learning, even with what I just did right now, we have people in the audience, if I do it live, who start to have lightheadedness and who could pass out. So you just want
to
start with the triangle. First. And then the thing to make it easier, too, is to get a timer. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say 5 minutes is all you need. You can see just in a couple of breaths, it makes a difference.
I was so relaxed.
Me too. Yeah.
Like, it was really nice.
So
I don't
do it
breathe
for 5
well
minutes, and you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just setting a timer, putting your feet up, and doing that breath. And if you've got some really great Stephen Halpern or somebody else's music, you know, Maria Castellas, you know, the 5 minute hour, if you've got that music, just put that on and relax for the 5 minutes. When the timer goes off, you go back to work.
Right, exactly.
Simple strategy, and it works.
And of all the yogas that are out there, what yoga would you recommend for somebody who really wants the rejuvenation, who really wants to have this, the part that you say, the rest, relaxation, and rejuvenation?
Well, my background is Ashtanga yoga. And so, you know, that's what
Ashtanga?
Ashtanga.
Ashtanga.
And it's the reason that I love it is that I find it to be a meditation in motion. The hot yoga or whatever it's called, I can't remember.
Bikram.
I mean, it may be good for some people, but I don't feel that that's really relaxing and energizing. Mm-hmm. I've seen people come out of there.
Sweat enough without doing anything.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I felt so sick when I did it. I've only done it once,
same
and I felt
here.
Really sick. Yeah, it's too strenuous.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas with Ashtanga yoga, there's 8 limbs, so you can also choose. You know, and what a lot of people do as they get older is they practice, you know, the limb called Braja yoga, which is the royal yoga, or for me, it's it really is meditation in motion. So I meditate and slowly move through the motions, you know, rather than... When I was younger, I was very, very advanced with yoga, and I had a yoga school in Toronto.
But,
you know, as the years have gone by, I'm more gentle with myself because I did some damage by pushing too far.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the other thing, too. And teaching... The good part about it, Ashtanga yoga and going that direction is that the really good teachers will teach you to go slow and go at your own pace and compete with no one.
Right.
Only yourself.
Yeah.
It's a really good lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, beautiful. We are out of time.
I know.
Do you have a website?
I do. And actually, I have 10 free tips that are awesome at that website that people can pick up. And it's 5minuteenergytips.com. So it's the number 5 minute energy tips with an S.com.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And where can they find your book?
They can actually find my book there at that website or at drmarilynjoyce.com.
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
You're a fabulous guest. Thank you for
thank you
for thriving.
Yes,
thank you for being here.
Thank
you for having me.
Once I was here, it was great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So great.
So
thank
beautiful.
You
are a
great.
Beautiful lady. Thank you so much for
this
being here.
This was fun.
Yeah,
thank
so much
you.
Fun.
Next year, a completely different energetic spirit. We have
next week?
Next week. Did I say next year?
You did. I think you're already
yet,
in
right?
the future.
Okay. Next week is somebody that you contacted.
Yes, really
a
cool. So she's hilarious. Her name, I'm not going to pronounce it right.
Kira
Sol. It's with an S. It's Soltanovic. She's a Slovakian.
Her
mom is from Slovakian descent. So, yeah, she's hysterical. She, like, says it like it is. So it'll be a different energy. So,
okay,
but thank
and please
you
like
so
us on Twitter at DocTherapist1, and please send emails to docandtherapist@gmail.com. And we love hearing your feedback. And have an awesome Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much.
And breathe.
And breathe.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.